Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Scott Lawton, and you're listening to Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Regarelli? I don't like you're not beside me, man. I miss you, dude.
I know.
What's going on here? Seems
so far away.
I know. I think we are. We're about an hour away.
Yeah.
From one of
scheduling issues.
Yeah.
You're a busy man. I'm a busy man.
Yeah.
Have to do it remote.
Happens. Yep.
It happens.
We can handle it. We can handle it. Could've
grateful
used you
for the technology.
Yeah, true. Could have used you Sunday night, men's league. Two subs. Thanks for coming.
I know.
Guys are just asking.
I'm in a dry spell right now, Nas. I gotta get back at it.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. We could have used you. I was absolutely dying. Long shifts. Shifts were too long. Talk about not getting the pens moving. Whew. My brain was telling them to go, and they wouldn't go. I was
two subs. Tired. That's a lot of ice time. A lot of reps.
Yeah, I played basketball too in the middle of the afternoon, right before. Well, we played at 4:30. It was an early game, so you really didn't have an excuse. But I played basketball before that, and that probably wasn't smart.
No.
But I mean, I lit it up. So what are you gonna do?
Yeah. You're running yourself in the ground, Nast. You're making yourself sick.
I know. I think I got a little cold here, but I'll be all right.
You're tough.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. I'm tough.
You not look really. Tough.
Yeah, I feel it. I feel it today. I feel rough, not tough. I look it. What's going on, man? The trade deadline came and went. Obviously, we were shooting a couple of shows that day. JVR not getting moved was obviously something that's been talked about a lot. Just not sure how that happens, buddy. Like, that's just something that's got to get done. And really more for JVR than anything. I'm not sure. You know, we were told by management from the Flyers that, you know, they called everyone that day and the lie they got a call at 1:40. Well, I feel like maybe you should have been trying before that. And maybe they were. We're not in there. We're not in the war room. But we did hear from our good buddy, Frank Saravalli, that the asking price was pretty high, a second round pick. Supposedly he had heard from good sources. He's usually spot on when he lets something out, he knows. Yep. So it's pretty disappointing. He called it a failure. I think Chuck maybe even alluded to that as well. Like, you got to get JVR moved, even if it's a fifth round pick at this point.
Yeah.
You know, for him, like, out of the respect for him, and you know, people are hard on JVR, but this guy scored a lot of goals in this league, and he's a pretty good net front player, in my opinion.
Yeah, totally. I think at some point you gotta stop playing hardball and just take what you can get. You know, I understand there is an asking price that you start with, but, you know, these are negotiations, right? And, yeah. You know, getting to crunch time, approaching the deadline, I think at some point you got to recognize what you are going to get and what you're not going to get. And yeah, I would say it's some bit of a failure. I mean, that would definitely been the guy you unload. You know, you said for JVR's sake, you know, again, potentially getting something in return. You never know. You know, you get a fourth, right. fifth round pick even. You know, you've seen crazier things that have happened. Yeah. Somehow maybe one of these guys pans out as one of these players that you develop in the minors that ends up being some version of an impact player. You never know. But
right.
I think the bottom line is it was a combination of asking too much and waiting too long. You know, I just think that was the priority. You know, you make a couple other moves. You know, it is what it is. You know, Chuck addressed it in the media and then the town hall, which I thought, you know, he was accountable for. He took ownership in it.
He did. I don't know what else he could do, to be honest, but at least he did, because we've seen that not happen in the past year, the last couple of years. But, you know, Torch defended him to the media, and, you know, he should, you know, it's his GM. And I don't know. I just don't know how that doesn't happen. But hey, man, what do I know? I just think it was something that's one you had to get done.
I would say so.
I mean,
maybe your next lifetime, Nast, you could be a GM and you can wheel and deal and you can,
yeah, right,
make these things work out. You know, it's a challenging position. I get it, but I think again,
it is, yeah.
But I mean, again, like I think the writing's been on the wall for some time. I know right before December they were 5 points out, and you know, they had a nice stretch there. But the reality was that, you know, come mid January, towards the end of January, like you kind of know where you're at. You know how the season's going to play out, and I think that you start shopping these guys around earlier. You know,
I think, I agree. And you know, it didn't help with the media and the fans and all that stuff. With, you know, back in, I believe, December, I'm not sure when the date was, but he had addressed and said, "Hey, we're only 5 points out of the playoff spot." This and that, which was true. And then follow up to last week, they're like, "So are you guys sellers?" And he's like, "Well, yeah, we've been honest with you the whole time." Well, no, that's not what happened. You weren't honest. You were trying to act like you had a chance. And anyway, I think that didn't help the situation with him coming out and saying, "Oh yeah, we're sellers," when that was never said. And we all know that was never said. And then this happens and you don't even get JVR moved for anything. At this point, I just don't think it looks good. And, you know, he got booed at the town hall meeting, which, I mean, what do you think was going to happen? I kind of chuckled with Coatsy, like, keep it classy. Like, what did you guys expect?
Yeah,
like,
you got a bunch of upset people that fans that spend a lot of money and time watching the Flyers and paying for tickets. You know, they have a right to be upset.
Yeah, they do. You know what? Like you said, to Chuck's credit, he took it. And he said, "Yeah, I could have done better." So, I mean, good for Chuck for doing that. But I kind of chuckled at Coatsy because, you know, he's got a little switch on him. You know, that's how he played the game, and that's just how he is in life. So I kind of chuckled when he was saying, "Hey, you know, keep it classy for, you know, don't ruin this for the other people." Someone yelled out, "Well, the Flyers have been ruined," or something like that. I was like, "Oh boy." But at least they finally got to talk. And Danny got a nice little cheer, of course.
Yeah,
because Danny B. But anyway, just a little let down with that, and more for JVR, really.
Yeah.
You know, but he's a class act and he's a pro. It'll all work out for him for sure.
Yep, it will. Now, shifting gears, we talked about it briefly last week around G's performance. You know, we project that he would be a star, and he was, obviously. Second star of the week, which is no surprise. I mean, this guy keeps producing and keeps proving people wrong. You know, I think he's an elite hockey player.
He really is. He's a plus player too. On a team that's not, you know, there aren't many. I'd have to really look at their lineup, but he's a plus on a team that's not that great. I mean, obviously they've been hot, and he's been really hot, but he's basically been hot all year, to be honest. I mean, like, he's a point of game player. They did get better picking up Chychrun, which I didn't realize Chychrun, like, that was the place he wanted to go. I heard, again, our
buddy
Frank Saravalli, I was listening to him the other day, and he had said that that was a destination he wanted. So good for Chick. I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing I'll mention too, you know, G, you know, kind of sliding in, say, more of a secondary role, like with less pressure, not the captain. But speaking of the captain, Brady Tkachuk, like, this guy is like,
he's not
arguably, you know, the most impactful, like, modern day captain that there is, right? I mean, this guy's challenging benches, challenging goalies. Not that it's about that, but this guy just,
just
bleeds emotion. And it seems to be a guy that you'd want to play for and play with, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, in G's case, you're just complimenting him, you know. You're just kind of laying in the weeds and doing your magic, and you don't feel the need to have to deal with the media as much, and, you know, all that stuff that was maybe, you know, maybe dragging him down a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been funny to watch some of these highlights. Like, every time
he's losing his mind, Twitter,
this guy's like, yeah, just the refs are holding him back. He's going after guys, and, you know, emotional guy, obviously, but he obviously skilled and can play the game. But, you know, a modern day leader, modern day captain. Nice to see.
Yeah, nice for sure.
For sure. And then shifting gears again, you know, Flyers game last night, Tony D.
Our buddy might be in trouble here.
Got a little emotional.
He did. That's you know, Tort said after, like, I don't want to take that out of him. He said,
no,
I think he said, I want to get more people to be it, but obviously he may have crossed the line there. I think Corey Perry, I like Pears. He's a pretty good dude, and you know, he's a shit disturber. He gets under
his skin. He's a shit disturber.
And Tony gave him a little how you doing.
A little jabby bullying.
Yeah, a little jabby bullying in the cup region there. And he may have embellished it a little bit because he jumped right up. Still, it's the act. It doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good, yeah.
You on can't, the replay, he did get him. He did get him.
He definitely got him, and you can't condone that. You know, that is the line in the sand where, as a player, but, you know, you can't cross that. But
I'm not going to lie.
It could be a lot worse. He could have done something really, really stupid. But he probably will get, you know, two or three games. I know he's got a hearing. Just knowing Tony, you know, and his track record, I'm sure they're going to try and throw, you know, an extra game or two at him too for it. But
I mean, I love the guy. I love
his
competitive nature. I mean, yes. And he'll tell you he probably crossed the line. Sure. But he was pissed off, and
rightfully,
you know, doesn't make it right. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, people will want to bash him, but if you understood Corey Perry and what he does all game, like, you saw Riles.
He's a guy that you always want to get.
Yeah, you just want to get him. Still, again, he did probably cross that line. Obviously, he did. He's got a hearing today, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully, doesn't get too many games. Too big of a, you know, fine or whatever. But they lost the game. They had a good game against Detroit, 1-1 since we last talked. So, you know,
D'Lo with the shorthanded breakaway snipe.
Yes, I know. Oof. Snipe too. Snipe.
Moving those
with his bad finger
from. Take a hint.
I know, with his bad finger from Seals's face.
Yeah, right.
Still burying.
Yeah.
So, they got a tough week. The rest of the week here, they get some teams pushing and trying to get into playoffs. And so hopefully, you know, they can grab a couple wins here, ruin a couple teams.
Yeah, exactly. Play spoiler.
Yep.
All right, Nas, I think we're ready. Episode 108 with our main man, Scott Laughton.
Yes, sir. The paralyzer.
The paralyzer. What a beauty.
Yep.
This episode is presented to you by Curaleaf. Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA or stop by one of their 18 locations across the Commonwealth or visit curaleaf.com/locations. Nas, let's go.
Let's go.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week we have a friend of the show. We could say it. A true friend of the show. Great guy. Number 21. Only guy with a letter on his jersey.
Oh, yeah.
What's that tell you? Mr. Scott Lawton, Lots, what's up, brother?
Thanks for having me, boys. Nice to be back in the studio here.
Is that a Vili Leino hat?
Yep.
That's sick, man. I like cool. that hat, actually.
Yeah.
Fuck, he's good, eh?
Really? It's a new design, it looks like.
He's got some cool stuff, man.
It's really cool. We actually got a bunch of stuff in the store now that you can get.
Yeah.
Chloe's got a bunch of that stuff. And
second level, the premium.
Here's the card. Honey, I got some really cool stuff.
Try and hook up with them before the season and get a little free.
Can you see some free stuff, Eli?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly. Man. No, it's nice stuff. He's a good dude, too.
Yeah, he is. He's a really good guy. Yeah.
Lawton, the premium apparel.
Teammate.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, this guy's legit. He started with just that logo. Remember I was telling
you
that?
Oh, yeah.
And it was just made stickers up. Then he made a hat. Now he's like runway shows.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's wild. He's got a store in Cali.
Did he open one?
Yeah. Last time we had him. Yeah, he said it was. So,
pretty impressive.
Are you going to do that once you retire in about 12 years?
My style is. I'm not even close to that.
No.
I'd need my brother's help, but.
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's awesome. Ninth season, bro. Known you a long time.
It's been crazy, yeah.
It's funny. We had Jay Rosehill on. We were just talking about him off camera, but he was on the show and we were talking about you. And I forget exactly what we were talking about. Maybe one of your sick G's. Bring up the one the other night, by the way. Was dirty. I sent him a text middle of the game. Not like he's going to get it, but he scored a sick goal. But he was like, remember when I was there, Lawton was just a little, a little turd there, little young guy. He's like, now this guy's established. He goes, man, it makes me feel old. I was like, yeah, no shit, man. I'm like, but nine seasons. It's crazy, man. Nah. How's it going with Torts? Like, you got to be his type of player, but it's a lot different from the last few coaches. You've been through a few.
Yeah,
through
a couple. It's been great under Torts. Honestly, I think the opportunity that I've been given personally, I think has kind of elevated my play and just to be able to play all situations. But Torts demands a lot. I think everyone knows that, but I think he's very fair at the same time. He lets everything be known. Everything's out there, and you're aware of it in the room, and guys are all understanding of it. So I think that's good for our group. Obviously, again, not the season you want to have, but if you're watching the games from last year, I think there's a big difference in how we play. We block a ton of shots, maybe because we spend a little bit too much time in our zone, but guys are laying it out there, and I think we're up there in hits in the league. I think guys battle for each other, and I know it's not all about that, and that's kind of the old school mentality, but it goes a long way throughout a year. So.
Well, I 100% agree. It is a big part of it. You have to have that, and you're trending the right way. We knew it's gonna take some time, and he said that at the beginning. But you can definitely see a difference in guys stepping up, and like you said, teammate. That's the biggest thing you can have, right? Like a unified team.
I think so. And it's just the belief in the room. I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I think, yeah. The attitude. Right?
Yeah, you have that, and I think picking up D'Lo has gone a long way for us. I think ever since Simmer kind of got traded, I think we were pushed around a little bit throughout the league. You go into Washington or something like that. But since when we picked up Mac on waivers, I think that's when it kind of slowly started to turn. And then picking up a couple more guys like that and Seals, I think just from a competitive standpoint where you go into every night and you're not going to get pushed around, and it's going to be a tough game. And I've had a bunch of guys actually tell me throughout games where it's like they've said how hard it is to play us and how big of a grind it is. So I think that makes you feel good. Obviously, the results aren't there, but you're trying to build something, and we have some young guys that are playing some good hockey right now.
Yeah. I agree. And Riles, you were a player. Obviously, you'd rather have it laid out to you.
100%.
This is what it is. Whether you like it or not, it's there.
Yep.
And this is the way it's going to be. And I think as a player, you really do want that.
100%, yeah. And I think Torts has done a good job, as you've talked about, just laying that groundwork, the foundation. You guys seem to have
that culture, right? That attitude that the Flyer fans are used to, right?
Yeah.
The wins aren't there necessarily, but again, you got that strong foundation to build off, and it's only trending in the right way, just adding a few pieces. And but I think as a fan, you know, if you see the effort and you see the guys grinding and blocking shots, I think at the end of the day, it's really what they want to see, right? It's like there's a way to lose, right? And there's a way not to lose. And I think at least you guys are in these games.
Absolutely.
You know, the glue is there, you know, the essence is there, which is nice to see. And it's trending in the right way for sure.
Yeah. And we talked about this a million times, and no one's going to make, you didn't make any excuse as a player. You're never going to make an excuse, but Coots being out.
Yep.
Cam, we've talked about this a million times, and everybody's, oh, it's an excuse. Well, it's about 50 to 60 goals out of your lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest. No, I mean, and maybe more.
Yeah. And it has been tough. You haven't seen Coots in a long time. I think he is an X factor for our team, where a guy, you go into a game against Edmonton or Pittsburgh, you have a guy who's playing against those top guys, a guy who's winning faceoffs on your first penalty kill power play. And you miss guys like Cam. And at the end of the day, we have to be better. Without them, with them, we just have to be better as a group. And, like you said, I think the foundation has started to slowly come. Still needs some work, and we need to push each other to a different level. I think TK's taken a huge step this year. That injury kind of hurts us, but a guy like Owen Tippett, who you saw last game against the Rangers, who's I think can be dominant in this league. So you have guys like that you want them to push the envelope a little bit. Frosty and Katie, who's been good all year, but those are guys that you're going to have to lean on next year, this year. Just following up on kind of getting their feet wet, and they've obviously been around, but it takes time. I'm firsthand at it, but it takes time to get comfortable in the league, and I think you have to be positive about the situation. Negativity is not going to do anything for it, so I think it goes a long way when you have those guys that want to be Flyers and be here and be part of it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know a big part when I was working for so long, my dad taught me, he's like, you know, the season's not going the way you want, but as a staff member, you got to be acting like you're in first place, and because they come to you a lot, you know, like, you know, you come sit in my office, like, I can't be like this pissed off, but you're right. You guys have, you can tell you're working your bags off, and Riles made a great point. There's a way to lose and there's a way not to lose. And, you know, the record's not where we want, obviously, but it's not from a lack of effort or lack of, or anything like that. Like, the effort is there. It's, you could see it. It's night and day to me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say, I don't mean that saying, well, last year you didn't try lots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think you can tell that too. I think I was out there near the end of the year last year, and it was painful to be a part of it wasn't fun, kind of the way it was going down. A lot of stuff happened. Your captain gets traded, things like that. But at the same time, like I said before, everyone needs to be better, and your real character shows up in these situations where 20 games left and might not have gone the way you wanted it to, but now it's time to play for your teammates and the guys who are there, because they're probably going to be there next year. We don't have 10 UFAs waiting or anything like that. So we have to figure this out together, and I think we will. We have a lot of guys that care in that room.
Yeah, for sure.
Talk about your leadership role. And Nasty alluded to, you know, rocking the A, you know, with Coots out and a couple of these older guys out. Are you finding it challenging to kind of maybe be like kind of that lone ranger, or maybe embracing it? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's been different. I mean, last year and years previous, you have guys like Jakey and G and Simmer, and that was kind of the core nucleus group, and most of that's gone now. You have guys like TK and Sani who have been in the organization for a bit and have seen it, that I think have taken a step this year what they're doing off the ice and away from it with all the young guys. And But yeah, it's been a different experience for me, I guess, and a great opportunity, I think, for myself, and an honor to be able to wear a letter for this franchise. I take a lot of pride in it. So it's been good so far, and a lot of fun, but there's a lot of help too, and it's not just one guy and, right. and everything like that. But I think you do miss a guy like Coots and Cam who have been in the league and have seen it, and even a guy like Ellie where mm-hmm. Those four games, I remember the presence he had in the room. So
right.
you're missing guys like that. That have been around a little bit and have seen everything. So you definitely miss that. But young guys have to step up, and I think they have.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like leadership is something that's like it's kind of in you or not. And you can be a leader without a letter, obviously. I mean, I feel like, you know, even going back to when I had you as a player at the Phantoms and stuff, like You seem to have those leadership qualities, you know, even at a young age, pro level. And then eventually you kind of become more mature and you evolve. And then, at some point, you get a chance to rock a letter. But, like, you know, talk about some of the younger guys that are bringing some sort of leadership too, and then how maybe your leadership qualities have evolved over time. Because I've really seen I've had an opportunity to work with you and see you grow. It's been pretty amazing to kind of come into your own and but part of that is leadership and you know, and being a pro.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And I think it, ever since I was a kid, I loved being at the rink. I had a ton of guys that are still playing in the NHL and pro hockey that I grew up with the Marlies. So we had a great group. And just from then, like, even learning when I was a kid at that age and in Oshawa, I had Boone Jenner, who's our captain, who's the hardest working guy I've ever met, and learned from him. But I think the first couple of years in the league, for me, being up and down, but you're really just trying to get your foot in the door and trying to make it and stay afloat. And it's hard to not be yourself, but you're a little bit nervous. You're not really comfortable. So I think it takes a little bit of time. And just being in the organization for so long and being around different people, learned so much. And just try and be the same guy every day. I think a pretty positive guy at the rink.
Yeah.
And always hanging around, trying to include everyone. And just really close with a lot of the people there. So I think just love spending time at the rink and having that positive attitude and being a vocal guy too, because I think that kind of helps my game.
Yeah, keep it loose. Maybe it's
absolutely.
Locker room DJ still? Or?
What's big right now in the room?
I got a little bit of rap going. I had Animals by Nickelback before we won our last game. Got Heartsy fired up.
Yeah, he loves it. Oh, my God,
we were at the Newark Airport Marriott there, and Heartsy had Nickelback raging, and I'm in the middle of my nap.
Oh, he told me. He told me.
I woke up. I'm like, no, I'm texting him. I'm like, hey, are you kidding me? Like, middle of my nap, I woke up. I was so pissed. I hopped in the shower for like 30 minutes.
He told me that. Oh, my God. It's so funny you said that.
Mike Heartsy, you know you're in a hotel, you know? Like, there's other people here. You can't be blasting the JBL.
He's trying to get wound up, man.
I know. It's 2:50. It's too early.
It's way too early.
Yeah. It's 5 hours.
Coming to the rink.
Yeah, I'd be peeking at
you. You'd be like third black coffee. Hey, Lost.
Maybe I'd squeeze a couple of stew defenses by then already. Try to app the thing
right
up.
Right before the nap so you can get the quick burst after.
Yeah, right? You know your stick room there at the center, like, be like 3:30 and freaking come flying down. I'm like, what are you doing here? It's 3:30. We play at 7, man.
Yeah.
He's got a coffee.
Probably not even in the lineup. Just there. Just hanging around.
Every night.
Yeah, warmed up. Yeah.
Warmed up every
patrolling
night.
Patrolling the red.
Oh, yeah. Patrolling the red and getting ready for the kickball games. You got to get jacked up for the kickball games.
Oh, sewer ball. That's
yeah,
the best.
Yeah. You got to bring the energy. So
the kids have me playing with the Rebels. Like, they're like, Nas, get in here. And they have bad boys. I've been telling you got bad rules. They have this. They have us. So you get out, like, right? You're out. So you know how we used to shoot hoops or something over there?
Yeah,
well, they linger around the circle. And if there's a bad ball, they can jump and kick it off of someone in, and they get back in, and that guy's out.
That's
it's
no
true.
Way. Change sure. that rule. Whoever made that
they
rule,
get mad
that,
at
that,
me.
Is,
that is brutal.
It's terrible because you think you're going to get a ball, and the guy heads it right off you, and they're like, you're done. And I'm like, what?
what kind of rule is this?
No, that's
you gotta change the
guys,
game.
Guys don't like the new guys who have come to our team don't like our rules.
They
either.
Don't.
No, because you can sewer off serve.
Yeah.
You got the roofies too.
Yes, yes.
Roofies are the best, I think. Roofies are the best thing in the world.
Are you guys, do you get fined for the roofies?
Yeah, and yeah. I changed it to, it used to be minimum 250, now it's $5.
Oh, you'd be in trouble.
I'd be some real trouble. I'd be broke. I'd be broke.
That's great.
No control.
Is he bad?
Yorkie's bad? Good for a couple roofies.
Oh, he's, no, poor guy.
He's the worst.
Oh, yeah. That's funny, man. Speaking of Hartsy, talk a little bit about him and Ersan and Felix, too. Which I feel like Felix has played well. It's just been some nights where maybe just the game didn't go well. But your goalie's been have played well this year for the most part.
They have. And Hartsy, I think, has been great for us all year. He's been solid. He makes key stops and at the right times, too. So I think he's been great for us. Obviously, Ersi came in, starts the year, I think, what was it, 6-0?
Pretty good start.
Not bad, right?
One of eight goalies in history, which pretty cool. So he came up, did a great job for us, great guy too. And Felix is a really quiet guy, but awesome too. So I think probably his first three or four starts, we kind of let him out to dry there, Felix. And his record probably doesn't look as good as it should. And that's probably on us at the start of the year. And then he kind of got sick there and then went on the conditioning stint and came back up. So, we got 20 games left. I'm sure he'll get a lot of games. And we'll see him and hopefully he can get a couple wins for him because he's a good goalie and a great guy.
Yeah, he's been around me. God, when I was there, I think I had him at two or three dev camps because he stayed over, a little longer in Sweden. Great guy, though.
Yeah,
like,
he's
really,
been
really nice
quiet
kid, man.
Yeah. You never really meet a bad Swede. Though.
That's
yeah,
great
right.
Point.
Yeah, they're
that's
pretty,
a really good
pretty
point.
Laid back.
They're all great. They're see good. Bobby Hägg tomorrow too.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's right. What a good man. Jeez.
We were
talking some of the.
That's who you gotta get.
The
just need a 15 pack ready for.
Get him on the clear.
It's funny. All the kids on our team they'll ask about all you guys and they're like who's come early. I'm like Robert Hägg. I'm like, this guy would be half dressed at 5.
Oh yeah.
Sitting there.
He'd be doing the ladder, like right when I was like having the first coffee, getting ready for the sewer game. He'd be doing the ladder. I'm like sweating, and then he's ready. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. He used to go through like a few like. There's like times where like you would come in. I usually had my iPad or whatever phone, and then you came in. You took over.
Yeah.
So you
had the hip going.
Yeah. And so. It's like Robert Hägg would go through that, my phase, and then he comes in and that part, and then Jake's phase where everyone left because Jake turned the damn music up so high. It was either Bruce or AC/DC or something. And Haggy's sitting there just
unfazed.
Do the whole thing, ready, half dressed.
Yep. Jake's playing the air guitar, listening to Sean Paul.
Oh, man. I missed those days. That's awesome. Yeah. Obviously, right now we're in the middle of this trade deadline's almost over. You've been through quite a few now. It's tough though, when you lose a guy. Like we have all been through that. But it's in the room, like guys talking about it, or are you just kind of like.
Yeah, I think so, and I think especially, I guess, in the situation that we're in, and it's a tough time. It's a really weird time, honestly. I went through it 2 years ago before I signed that extension, and that was probably the most nerve-wracking I've been, just about the unknown and what's going to happen. But, you lose your buddies. I've lost Raff, Hägg in the summer, but you lose a lot of guys that you build a lot of close friendships with, so it's tough. And
Big Mac
just,
today.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, Macker. That's... just an East Coaster, just a great, great human being, a guy I'll miss. He was a guy I hung out with a lot on the road. So me and him hit it off since he got here. So that one's tough. And all the talk about JVR too, another guy who's kind of a guy I've been close with for the last 5 years. So it's a tough time. And even for like the the wives and everything like that. I think they're close to all the others, and it's just a weird time.
Yeah, it is. It's always, it's like exciting watching the other teams, but you're just always hoping. I remember, you know, December, going back to December, like you said, like we played the outdoor game, and the next day is the deadline, and we were actually on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were winning, and we were, you know, I'm not saying we were going to make the playoffs.
No, but we were pushing.
But we were pushing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I remember him coming through in the early afternoon, and I'm like, we still good? He goes, I'm still here. He's like, just fingers crossed. And then literally 30 minutes later, it comes up on the thing. I'm like, oh, man. And then we just kind of.
Yeah.
You know, it's a killer sometimes. Like,
it is.
And you know, you lose a like guy like him and Mac. Like, dude, he's such, we've gotten to know Mac and play golf with him quite a bit. And I, you know, always texting with him and stuff. Like, just such a, like you said, such a good human and such a good teammate, right? Yeah. Like, it's tough, but you know what? Good for him. He's going to go to LA. They got a shot.
Got a shot, exactly. That's a positive part, I guess, of it. But, hopefully we're in a spot in a year or two or however long it takes where we're getting that excitement of the deadline where we're picking up a couple guys. Yes. You're not losing those guys. So that's what eventually you're looking for. And we sort of did it before the bubble, picked up a couple guys, and it just injects a little bit of life in your group
and
a little bit of positivity. So hopefully we can get to that point, but yeah, it sucks when you're supposed to be sellers and everything goes along with that, because you do build those good friendships.
Yeah, it's always tough to see a guy go.
Well, on the other side of that trade, I mean, you got a guy like Brendan Lemieux. He's, you know, pretty well-known guy around the league. I'm sure you've had your battles with him. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, he seems like a guy that you want on your team, right? So it's always tough to see a guy go, bring in some sandpaper, you know, a guy that, you know, can really kind of get under the opponent's skin. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. I think
he does that really well.
He does that really well.
He does, for sure. He's, we've gone at it for as long as I can remember, for sure, and kind of gone back and forth. So usually those guys are the guys that you're always chirping or usually become pretty tight with. So you always find that. But I'm sure I'll send him a text here and welcome him. Just happened not too long ago.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Reach out to him and welcome him to Philly. But adds a little bit of that to our lineup, and I think we have one of the tougher teams
and team to play against, right?
Yeah, sure. Team, so, yeah, he'll
add it. It's funny you said that, Lutz, because I remember Chief said it so many times when he got traded to Washington. You know, being a Flyer back then, there was a huge rivalry with the Flyers in Washington. He hated Dell Hunter, so he gets traded there. So he gets there at the deadline. He said, I probably didn't say two words to him the rest of the year. Playing on the same team. Next year, the trainer, Hall of Famer, Doug Shearer's nicknamed Sluggo. Sluggo's a legend. He puts them right beside each other. They've been best friends ever since. It's just funny how it works. I hate that fucking guy. And the next thing you know, like, what a great guy.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
That's rather
have him on your team, obviously, than playing against him. But hopefully it works out for everyone involved. You know?
100%.
Yeah.
I know I was with you guys, but when Raf got, I was so sad when Raf got traded. I know how tight you are with Raf, too, man. But God, what a funny human, man.
He's supposed to be coming to Philly in March. Yeah? Or not in March. We're in March, right?
Yeah, we're in March.
That's right. Good point.
Thank you.
Lost track of time.
Yeah.
No, but I think he's coming next month or in May or whatever. So it will be good to see him. But yeah, that was. I signed at like 2:40 or something. The deadline was at 3:00. I get on the bus and guys are like, "Yeah, Raf got traded." I'm like, "No, there's no way." And then obviously had that. But yeah, that's the exciting thing, I guess, for the other guys too. Is I talked to Macker a little bit and he said he's excited. You
opportunity,
get a shot,
right? Yeah, exactly.
You never know.
That's when you want to play.
It's the business.
That's what you play for, is to win and play in the playoffs. So that's the most exciting part of it for those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, what'd you think about Patrick Kane, seeing him in a different jersey? We were talking about that earlier. It's weird, but it almost kind of looks right because of Showtime. You know what I mean? New York City, so.
Well, they loaded up pretty pretty good at the deadline. Yep. And I actually threw on that game last night, watched G and Brass's 1,000 games.
So oh, yeah, right.
Cool, watched the start of it and saw all that stuff. So that was good for him. I'm happy for him. Been around for a long time, played on a couple teams, but good pro. So
yeah, good for him. Yeah, man. And he scored.
Yeah.
He had two, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he did. And G, who's been a little hot all year, really, but the last two games, 7 points in the last two games. But yeah, it was cool to see. They're pushing, man.
Yeah.
And then they get Jacob Chychrun. I did not think Ottawa was going, although L.A. Friedman said it. He said he thinks they're pushing for him. But I didn't see Jacob Chychrun going there. Yeah. I mean, I just didn't.
It's a good pickup. If he can stay healthy.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy, yeah.
A little bit fragile. Mm-hmm. A couple other old teammates got traded with the Shane Gostisbehere and Voracek. A little bit different situations, but nice to see Ghost going to Carolina. So, he'd be a real good fit there.
I think he'll fit in well there, play on the power play. Yeah. And I think he found, he got opportunity in Arizona and he took off with it.
He did.
He was playing some good hockey, really good puck mover, great guy.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for him.
Yeah, me too.
Really, really excited for him. Get a chance and, I don't know, I think he'll help there.
Yeah, I think so, sure, yeah. And then old Jakey Poo, it's a tough situation. You know?
I messaged Jake and I said, hey, come on back and play some golf. Come back and stay with you for a little bit, especially in the winter.
I got to text Jakey, actually. I got to text him, see what he's thinking.
Yeah.
He'll probably be going off on Twitter in like 6 hours.
Oh, yeah, just attacking whoever.
attacking someone in Czech. I'm always under a translate tweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Did you see the one a while back where he went after this guy and the guy was complimenting him?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what did he say? Hey, I was buckled. Sorry, man. He like apologized.
I was talking to him through that. He's like, yeah, man, it's 5 a.m. in Czech. I'm going off on guys. So I'm like, man, what's going on?
Just like standard routine.
He's my favorite. He's one of my favorite Twitter followers for sure.
Oh man, he is hilarious.
He's laugh out loud funny.
Yeah,
like, reading back on his tweets too. And when he tweets about tennis and stuff, it's so over the top.
He needs his own show. He needs a camera following this guy. So just get in his head. Just like pick his brain a little.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he'll do something. Jack, he'll have something going on for sure.
Oh yeah.
Well, when we went there for the thing, we go out for dinner the first night and Jakey's face is on the menu. I'm like, dude, this guy's Brad Pitt
in Czech Republic.
We were coming off the soccer game. There was like 100,000 people, like all not 100,000, but like 50,000 people outside the stadium. And we got off, they had security all the way through to the stadium, and everyone was yelling Jakey's name.
Yeah,
like, he's like a
dude. There was paparazzi. We walk out of a restaurant, and there's paparazzi.
Paparazzi,
taking pictures of him and
him
following
and
Yogs, us.
Right?
Yeah,
him and Yogs
following
are like
down the road.
You can't hide either. He
says
very
to me,
visible.
I remember that first meal we had that night. We went to team dinner, and he was like, I was pretty close to him. He's like, Nasty, you see why I'm fucking fat? This is how I fucking eat. He's like, this is why. And I'm like, it is good food. I mean, it was super good, but I'm like, you know,
goulash,
there's portions. I said, you know, there's
pork
portions.
And potatoes and just
there's
like
portions, though.
You get the schnitzel.
It don't matter if you have like 10 portions.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. It's like, but the food's good.
Yeah,
it was just funny he said that. Oh, man, he's a mess.
What a great dude.
Oh, yeah. Step onto the ice, property owners. It's time to make a power play with your next construction project, and that means working with the best in the game. DLI Commercial is an experienced company that has led construction projects for companies in the industries of hospitality, retail, education, medicine, finance, manufacturing, and telecommunications. So what are you waiting for? Let DLI Commercial be your trusted partner in your next construction project today. For more info, visit their website, www.dlicommercial.com. So what's like a maintenance look like for you during the season? You know, veteran guy, you know, trying to preserve the physical body throughout an 82-game season. Like, you know, obviously your approach to training, everything's evolved over time, and then now, like, you know, mid-season, like, what's that look like for you now? Have you changed a lot in what you're doing? Or
I think this year especially, just kind of playing the minutes I have. It's all about just trying to feel good for the next day and feel good for the next game. I feel, I don't know if it's going back to the 82-game schedule, but I feel like our schedule has just been crazy. We're on the road, we come back for a day, play a game, then we go back on the road or something like that. So it's kind of just trying to stay afloat throughout the year, eat as much as I can because I tend to lose a little bit of weight throughout the year and been good with that so far. And I'm really lucky Chloe's an osteo, so I'm getting a ton of treatment at home. Honestly, it's
that's big.
She's amazing and has helped me a ton. So anytime I got something going on, I'm always seeing her. And it's pretty convenient too, so it's nice. But yeah, it's a lot of, I would say a lot of treatment, a lot of sleep. Just trying to, like I said, stay afloat because it's a grind and all that. But we've actually done a ton of lifts this year. Not lifts, but more like primes where you're doing a ton of band work, Kaiser work, all that stuff before practice. And I think we haven't done as much of it in the past maybe. And I think that's helped kind of just maintain your overall physique, I guess. It's like to maintain what's going on.
It's funny you say that because every year, you know, as the season goes on, maybe not in your case because you were always having to try to stay heavy, but like I remember Danny B used to start the year with an 87 flex because he'd come in, he'd been lifting, but as the season went on, you don't lift as much, obviously, because of the hectic schedule. And he would, around probably early February, he would change his flex lower to 82 to 77 for the rest of the way. But Prongs was really big on getting in the weight room every day, just kind of maintaining. I remember he used to be like, hey, if there would be some young guys, he'd be like, well, let's go. You know, he'd get them up there. But Tort's pretty good about giving you – he gives you guys some rest days, right?
He's great.
He kind of gets it.
He's it's the best since I've been in the NHL with days off. We you practice hard, and he'll give you a day off, and you play the games hard. And if you don't, then you're going to practice, and you're going to practice even harder. So
how was that training camp?
Hardest? It was the hardest I've ever done in my life, yes. It is. We did the – everyone kind of made a big deal about it because everyone said, oh, no pucks for the first 2 days. But, like, the first day we were doing kind of testing, like the VO2 or whatever on the ice. And the second day was Torts' skating test. So that's why we didn't have pucks, but still didn't have pucks. But but that lap test is like no other. Like you're the burning in your legs, I've never felt. Like you almost have to keep moving so you can keep the lactic acid out. It's very hard, but.
Elliot Friedman just reported you're going to Toronto.
No way. Come on.
I'm fucking with you. Holy
fuck. I didn't scare you.
Fucking balls are in my throat.
T.O. Oh, like, no way. Elliot Friedman.
I thought you were going to go, yes, T.O. I'm kidding.
No fucking way.
Holy fuck. You fucking, I'm shaking still. I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. I got better call Chloe.
I told him, I said, we gotta do something.
My balls were in my throat. I'm like, oh, no.
We knew if it came from Nasty, you wouldn't be waiting to bid on it.
Even if it came from me.
He's looking at me behind the thing, too, like the puppy dog face. I'm like, fuck you, man.
I wish you should have put it on him so we had it.
The sigh is like,
sick, Elliot Friedman.
Oh, Elliot.
Dickie, if Dickie Dunn wrote it, you know it's true.
Slap shot. I really see him, too. I just got the little, still shaking.
For the guys that don't know, I usually try to scare lots, and today I was like, we got to do something, but
check the garbage cans coming in.
Yeah, I know, I was looking at
them.
That's
the only reason you brought them. So
four cups of coffee.
Oh, no, sorry, we had to get you.
No, that's all good.
You ain't going anywhere, bro. You ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, let's just wait on that, maybe.
Yeah, right.
But what were we talking about? You fucked us up.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Next subject.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. Oh, man. But
what you got, Ness?
Lots. Or, Roz, what do you got?
Well, I was asking you. You had something teed up there.
No, I forgot because he had me for a second, actually, and I knew he was going to do it. Yeah. The way he puppy dogged him, I thought it was legit. Debo's robbing his car the other day. Don't worry about that loss.
Maybe bring up the trip out west there.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. It was nice to actually get to see you for a couple minutes. We were fans of Philly. One of our sponsors, great trip, great people, man. It was nice to see you guys there. I wanted to bring up Seattle, the way they move that puck.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah, it's probably my two worst games of the year against Seattle, against them. So I like to forget about it, but they were they seem like they got 10 guys on the ice the way they move it, but they're quick. They transition the puck quick. They're having a good year, and they have a lot of guys who have kind of broke out for them too. I think a lot of those guys that people probably didn't believe in last year going through that, and they picked up a couple guys and playing as a team, and they're doing well.
We talked about this last week, but we went to their morning skate, see Hack, and got to talk to him for a little bit, but we were watching practice, we're like, man, this puck is zipping. Yeah. Like, and they were working on the power play when we were there. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And Hack brought up, how do you say his name, Baller? Sorry, Beniers. He's like, this kid's special. He's a good player, which, I mean.
Good young player.
Yeah.
I trained with that Vince Dunn in the summer. Oh, yeah. He was on their first power play.
Yeah.
He's really good with the puck, good puck moving guy. So I think he's helped that power play and playing there. But pretty cool city. That was my first time.
Yeah.
It was a cool building.
Yeah, that was a cool experience.
Yeah.
Had two scoreboards,
a little different,
got
vibe.
Got to go
in
on
there.
The Ferris wheel with Beezer.
That's right. You got a little shaky up there. Was it Beezer?
No, Beezer got a little shaky. Holding the thing with the deep breaths. I was in tears.
I would
crying.
Never have gotten on that.
No,
I don't like heights either. I would have been with Beezer.
Nice view though. I like Seattle. It was a nice city where we were at, and you guys weren't too far from there.
We were right across the street. Yeah. Oh, actually, you weren't staying where we saw you.
No, but you were. We were close there, and it was nice. It kind of reminded me of Vancouver a lot.
We were lucky. We ran into Talk and Van the morning skate. We went to the morning skate and talked to Talk for a little bit and said
Yozy too.
Yeah, that's right. We got to see Yozy. He was going to bring him up. What a good man, eh?
He was good with me, too, and really treated me well. So, I got nothing but good things to say.
I enjoyed him that year. It was only half a year for me, but I really liked him. I stood with him two periods out of three, and he said some shit, just made me die laughing, all the time. Good guy. But I was telling Talk, I said, it's interesting. You guys have about 15 coaches out here. They had the Sedins out there, and everything, or the, Sedins. And then I said, but your practice compared to theirs looked like Elvis's Might team, the way you guys but it was cool to get to be on the road and see you guys. I mean, it wasn't a great weekend for you guys, but it still was cool to go on that trip and get to
great
run
to
into
you.
It was fun. 100%. It was a good time for us, for sure.
And the fans of Philly, too.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool that they always set that up, too. So
yeah, they're great, man. They do it for all sports in Philly and even in Buffalo. Football team.
That's right. Yeah,
that he said those are shit shows. You think the Eagles guys? He does trips for Buffalo.
Yeah,
they're jumping on the tables.
You ever see that guy? He's the older guy at the tailgates. He gets mustard and ketchup all over him. Like everyone's got mustard and ketchup, and he's covered. You've never seen him
in Buff or Philly.
In Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo. And then he jumps off into a table. Old guy.
Joe and
mustard.
So he just lathers himself in mustard and ketchup.
No,
and
everyone gets them on like 1, 2, 3. Everyone starts spraying them. Someone's got to.
So then he's
this.
Fully covered, and then he jumps onto the table. Oh, I got baller.
That's
that.
A different breed.
My
buddies
different.
Go to a couple.
Oh, I'm sure. Right. Yeah.
What about Coco?
Yeah,
he's a big Bills guy.
Huge Bills guy. He's actually living. He lives in where my parents are from.
Oh, he does.
So yeah. So he's down there.
We had Coco on. Remember, we used to play that song once. Well, I'm in love with the Coco.
Yeah.
Hexy goes, what's no, that about?
That was our win song.
Yeah, that was the win song.
It got shut down after one game.
Yeah. Hexy goes, what's that about? And I'm like, I don't know. He goes, I think I know. That's done. You can hear it out in the hall. The system's so loud.
But it was just for Coco.
Yeah, that's what it was really about. But Hexy's like, no.
What a beauty. Loves a good crispy romaine lettuce, too. Yeah. That's my favorite thing. Every time on the road, I'm taking a picture of the lettuce, sending it to him. Not crispy enough, but
not crispy enough.
That's the greatest. He's awesome.
Oh, man, that's great.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
One last?
Yep.
What do you got?
I got, that's about it, man. I don't want to hold this man up. He's a busy man.
Yeah.
But we appreciate you a lot, seriously, taking the time out of your day, especially on the day off.
Oh, awesome to see you guys. It's always great to be here and see you guys. And
thanks for Timmy Oaks.
Yeah, no problem.
I think he's going to devour him. This guy, yeah. You know, he hasn't had a donut.
What no a chance. Murray I say? Was bringing him in. I'm like, Rouse.
Terry Murray said to B-Rad. You remember B-Rad? Yeah. Of course. He says that one day there's someone brought some donuts in, and he goes, "Hey, Murph, grab a donut." He goes, "Brad, the day I eat a donut's the day I quit competing." And B-Rad grabs it and one time's a donut. Whoa. A full donut one time.
Well, speaking of that, you had Murph, right? I mean, yeah. I forget who brought donuts in the one day in Lehigh, and he's like, you know, he's like, you made the decision not to compete.
He
got donuts.
Did he say
compete? Oh, yeah, that's what he says. I want to say it was Cuzzy. You made the decision not to compete.
That's
pretty good. You know? Yeah. You're eating donuts before games is probably not a good sign you're going to show up tonight. Yeah. You know?
But as long as you got those black shoes on, those tennis shoes.
Oh, the lifts.
Oh, yeah.
A couple inch lifts.
Pairs, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The roadies.
They had to be comfy, though.
He used to walk them into me like this. I put them in the skate trunk. You know, he'd walk them in. I'm like, what
no
if
No one
we
ever
forgot?
Forgot those.
What if we did?
Oh,
good guy.
Yeah, Murph was great. Yeah, I liked
very
him
quiet
lot.
when I played there with you guys. He was quiet, but he coached a lot of games.
Oh, yeah.
He knew what was going on.
He was like one of the last old school coaches because the quietness was just like if he didn't have a problem with you, he just left you alone.
Yeah.
You know?
And then, well, my first time in Adirondack, he was like at the end of the year, went up. I asked for like the P92 curve. They had none left. So I was using the straight Medano curve on my first practice. And Murph was like, all right, like half wall first power play. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm coming from junior. I'm like, what do I do? So, like, Aiki was on it and all those guys. So I'm like, okay, talk to them. And that's just how it was. It was like, all right, go ahead.
P88, the old Madonna.
Yeah,
P88. But, yeah, the Madonna.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, he had a few stints with the Flyers, Murph.
So my dad was his trainer when he said he was a really good player, very offensive defenseman.
Yeah.
I think he played for the Golden Seals.
He did.
He had the white skates. They painted their Cooperalls? Skates white.
No, but did they have Cooperalls, the Golden Seals?
I don't know about that, but I know they had white. They painted the skates white.
Really? Yeah. That's interesting.
Gilles Meloche. Eric Meloche. Oh, yeah. His dad was a goalie there, yeah, and he painted the skates. Meloche. But anyway, Lawless, we do appreciate you, man. Thanks, love you boys. To death, man. Yeah. You know that family for sure.
Yeah.
You're a leader on the team, man, and it shows, and you deserve everything you're getting, and it's going in the right way. People just got to be patient, man.
Yeah.
You guys are doing a great job working your ass off every night.
No, we're going to try and continue that belief in the room, and that's all we can do right now. And it sucks, and it sucks this time of year, but we're going to figure it out. It's the only way. So
that's right.
We will.
Awesome. Appreciate you lots.
Thanks, boys.
All right, see brother.
You. Thank you.
A big thank you to our boy, Scott Lawton, for hopping on and joining us in the studio.
Yes. Lawless. Great to love see him. Great dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate his insights and his leadership and how he's evolved. It's been really nice to witness. You know, again, we talked about, you know, like coaching him back in the day and seeing this guy evolve. It's just nice to see him really come into his own and find that, you know, find that leadership and kind of find his groove and how he inserts himself into the lineup on a daily basis. So,
yeah, he comes to play every night.
He does,
and he's fun to watch. You know, he gets in there, he gets his nose dirty, and all the guys, they love him. Like, he's good in the room. He does it all, man. That's why, like you said, we were talking to him. That's why he's got a letter on his jersey. So, yeah. Love him.
Good sense of humor. You know, he's got that dry sense of humor. You know, he's always cracking on guys and you know,
he used to make me laugh a lot during games, some of the shit he would say and the looks he would give me. We had a lot of fun together. It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I was enjoying him around the room. Now, that's what time is it?
I think it's time for the Clear Questions brought to you by Clear Rum.
Oh yeah. And no baller today, so I got them right here in front of me.
Oh, my God. Well, let's do it then.
First question from Mike M. via email. And it's about Toby. Look at that.
Oh, wow.
I see a lot more guys in men's league using the Toby stick. What is so great about it? Nass, you want to kick that one off?
Yeah, if you want to get technical about it, the biggest thing is the blade. And the Diamond Air construction with the holes in it. Every testing they've done, anyone that's used that stick, they definitely shoot the puck harder, right? I mean, it's not 4 mph harder, but it's definitely that technology helps with the swing speed, almost like a golf club, obviously, and the performance. But it also reduces drag, like, again, being technical, if you really want to know it. But to be honest with you, it's not a gimmick. The feel is what I felt. I didn't think about weight, which they do have the lightest stick now. The feel is unbelievable. And it, with the way that blade's made, it has a larger sweet spot for guys like me, you know, that they don't shoot the puck well. But the feel, you can take a pass with it. I mean, it's like I said, it's not a gimmick. It's a legit. I mean, this thing's legit, and it's going to do some damage here, I think, in the next year.
Yeah, I think so too. And so, you know, from my experience, I find that the puck snaps off the blade. It just seems like it snaps off a little quicker. Is that the actual blade or is that the kick point? What is that exactly?
I think what they're saying, it's the way that blade's made. And, you know, now they've actually made up. They've made a blade that's so stiff. Like, some guys like it stiffer. You know how it is. Some guys are high maintenance. Some guys like a medium stiff. But, it does. You're right. And it's funny you said that, because even when a slug like me shoots it, like our good buddy Joey Rivera was like, that thing's coming off that blade, and it does have a different sound. It's almost like there's not a sound, and it kind of fools goalies from what those guys are saying, or goalies have said. But I think the flex point and the kick point is where you want it. Like, I don't take slap shots, obviously. So I like a lower one, because I just like to try to shoot real quick. But, you know, you may be different, but I think it's more the blade, and that technology is so advanced. It just keeps getting better. Every time they come out with a newer version, it gets better.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm not taking many clappers these days, but I find, like, you know, even in a not great shooting situation, I'm able to get a little pop off. And again, it's like surprises me almost, where I'm like, geez, I'm like, I feel like I didn't even really do a whole lot there, and I'm getting a decent quality shot there. So there's definitely something there. And, you know, as more and more guys try this, you know, we're hearing feedback that they like that similar type of feel. Like they're liking something about the way the it's coming off their stick. The balance too, I'll mention, like, I find that it's a really, really balanced stick, you know, between the blade and the shaft. And I don't know, I just like the way it feels. I mean, from the second you gave it to me at Hollydale, I think it's like 2.5-3 years ago now. I was like, wow. I'm like, there is something to it. And I think we've talked about this before on the pod. It's almost psychological, you know, the ritualistic, of the taping of a stick, right? It's just like something guys have done since they were 4 years old, is taping a stick before their games. And I think it's just getting over that psychology. You know, you forget, we went from like the oldest, stiffest wood sticks you've ever seen, to two piece to one piece, and you know, the technology continues to evolve. So I don't think it's too far off. I think if it is about performance, guys will be able to evolve past that thinking. It's just a matter of, you know, one or two guys in the NHL leading the way. They're working from the youth level up. You know, they got the Raven, which has three different flexes, I believe, at a youth level, which is unheard of,
right?
With the same technology. So it'll be interesting to see how this thing moves along, but I definitely see more sticks in men's league. You know, there seems to be one or two guys on every team kind of giving it a whirl, and seems to be getting good reviews. So
yeah, and it's even, I mean, not only men's league, I don't want to like put it like it's just a men's league stick. Obviously we have some NHL guys that are testing it and keep using it in practice and keep messing around, and hopefully over the summer we have a couple guys. We're not going to name them, don't want to put them on the spot, but it's a lot of good things coming for Tovey. So that, I really do appreciate that question, and also, you know, it is legit. It's not a gimmick. That's what a lot of people think. I believe you see that, you know, the blade, you don't tape it. It's a legit stick, and the feel is unreal.
Yeah, I agree. Certainly legit. All right, moving on. Question number two from Kent Chilton, Punch Romaine on Instagram. Who is the most high maintenance player you've ever had, Nasty?
Oh boy. Probably first thing,
I'm sure.
Yeah, there's been a couple. I was pretty lucky, but Beezer, don't kill me. John Van Beesbrook. Excuse me. My first year, he was pretty high maintenance, but at the same time, he was amazing. He was an all-star that year. We missed the playoffs by one point, but I just remember thinking, wow, like this is this guy needs a lot of attention. You know, my dad dealt with most of it because he wouldn't let anyone else deal with, you know, himself, Beezer, that being Beezer. Another guy I used to like bust balls on was our good buddy, Michael Delzato. I always called him, you know, prima donna, fixing his jerseys, fixing his shin guards, his shell, everything had to be perfect. But he really wasn't that high maintenance. He just, once you had him dialed in, he was good to go. But I just have to bust these balls a little bit. So
yeah,
right. I would say Beezer, if I'm top of my head, he was pretty high maintenance, but I was also like, that was my first year. I didn't even know what was going on, man. I was just learning every day. So, but I would say John Van Beesbrook, sorry, Beezer.
Would you consider Prong Daddy high maintenance?
You know what? He wasn't too bad. To be honest with you, he wasn't bad. It was we told the story when he was on the show a couple years ago. Can't believe it's been that long. When I tricked him with his gear, he was like, I only wear one set. And I'm like, okay, all right. I'm not going to argue with this guy, right? And I just tricked him. I just kept flip-flopping it. And then he's like, you little fucker. All right, it's fine. So, but he wasn't really high maintenance. He was pretty easy.
Yeah, good. And would you say I was high maintenance?
Oh my God, terrible. No, you didn't even tape your stick. You didn't even need tape.
Three sticks a year or what?
Jeez. You had more than that, but not many. The old green gobsies, those things lasted.
Green gobsy. That was some interesting technology.
Yeah, it didn't help my performance. Well, you weren't really focused on that. You had other things you were trying to deal with the
Green Goblin looked good on the ice. You could see the fluorescent colors. Yes, you know, exactly. You knew that it was on the ice and not in my hand. So
that's right. It didn't look. I'm not sure. Were you using the Green Goblin when you sniped on Carey Price?
I can't remember.
I have to go to the tape. We have to go to the footage and see. Oh, that's funny.
Oh man, memories.
Yes.
All right. Last question here. Number three from Chris Cox at Dollar Hamsters.
Oh, Chig.
And this question is for me. Have you ever fought Milan Lucic? And the answer is no. I have had a few run-ins with him. I definitely challenge him. I remember one time in Philly, it was nose to nose with him, you know, after a stoppage up against the glass. But never fought him. He was young. I mean, I don't know how young he would have been. He was fresh. But I seem to always fight Sean Thornton every time he played the Boston Bruins. Old Thorny and I would probably have a
cakes.
Good, yeah, Thorny cakes, toe to toe, knuckle sandwiches.
Yeah, good fights with him, man. Wow.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, in talking about Milan Lucic, I mean, the guy was always a freak. He was certainly tough as nails back then. But it's actually pretty interesting to see this guy like evolve into, I would say, you know, a top two, top three guy for sure around the league. I know John Scott says he's, you know, the champ. But it was interesting. Him and Ryan Reeves, you know, played each other the other night.
Yeah.
I know hockeyfights.com was anticipating, you know,
I think everyone was
the year. Everyone was, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it never happened.
Right. There was a little poke behind the leg from Luch to Revo, but not that was the extent of it. But yeah, you're right. Hockeyfights.com, like I was waiting on it because you know everyone was, but they didn't get a chance to do it. So I guess there's got to be a reason too.
Little like, theater, not, probably. Let's just play. Like,
yeah.
What are we doing? We both know we're the champs here. Let's just.
Yeah.
It's not like the old days. I think you know, where like you're really you know trying to establish street credit, and there's several other tough guys, and you're trying to kind of figure out that hierarchy. But I think you know, then in the current NHL, guys know who the guys are and.
Yeah,
there's not a lot, I mean, whole if lot something, of
dispute. Yeah, exactly. If something happens, then you know, yes. it you might have it. But like you said, there's no reason for those two just to square off. I mean, we would have enjoyed it, that's for sure.
Of course,
but you know, it is what it is. The game's obviously not where we used to be. And they probably, you're right. They just, let's play. If something happens, it happens. And nothing really did happen. But Luch did give him a little poke. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like, should I do something? Should I not do something? You know, like he gave him a little poke in the back of his leg, but nothing major. But anyway, you didn't have to fight him. But he was, you know, he was young too, like you said. And he was scoring goals.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, like he's always been a good player, hard nosed power forward. So, but he is tough, man. And the fact that, like you said, you've brought it up a few times that he's still doing it and he kind of found his game again. I think when he's involved like that, I think his game's better. I think a lot of guys play that way, you know, like, you know, I just remember saying to Hartsy, Scott Hartnell, I would always be like, man, the more physical you are, it seems like you always score when you're in the game and you're physical and not necessarily fighting, but I always thought Hartsy was like better when he was involved physically.
Yeah. I think that's true for most guys of that brand of hockey, right? It's like, this is where you bring the essence to the game. This is why you're scoring the goals, is because you're pissing the other guys off and you're going to the net hard and you're drawing penalties, all that good stuff. But even going back to Luch, he's actually become like more dangerous. Like, you know, dropping McDermott last week there or two weeks ago, whenever it was, like, you know, that's a big boy.
That's a big man.
Not holding back and tagging him like that. I mean, you know, again, he's not shying away from it. A lot of guys, naturally fight less as they get older. But, you know, I think his role is diminished where he's, you know, almost, you know, finding himself having to fight a little bit more to kind of earn his keeps, I guess, and just kind of keep that street credit going.
You know, Daryl Sutter probably doesn't like it, though.
He hates it. Probably benched him out for that.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, that's a wrap, Nast.
All right, brother.
Clear questions in the books. Episode 108 in the books. Appreciate all the listeners, the followers. Until next week for episode 109, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.